Who's next? Item 10, presentation of 2017 CICERA budget versus actual expenses report.
Henry, would you mind if Tim helped you out with this report?
You bet. Yeah. His information is more lively.
He's suffering a little bit from separation anxiety right now.
Enough of the Tim show. This will be brief. What I'd like to present, this is our status update budget to actual for the 2017 year. The administrative expenses is information that was already put out in the CAFR on various pages. So it's timely because it follows the audit discussion. But the documents that you have in front of you is really the budget. On page one is the combined administrative and non-administrative budget. Page two is the administrative by itself, and page three is the non-administrative. The principal reason why we break down the budget into administrative and non-administrative is, you know, is the limit that CIRL has on administrative costs being equal to 21 basis points of the actuarial accrued liability. And so it gets referenced by itself in the audit report. The administrative cost is our CEO departments, our administrative, HR, accounting, IT, member services, and benefits. Those are the administrative core functions that we do. The non-administrative cost that are outside of the CIRL limit is the expenses for Tim's department, investments, Karen Levy's department, and also our disaster recovery program. They make it to the budget, but they're classified as non-administrative simply because they don't match up to the limit that we put in front of you. The only expenses that don't make it to the budget, but they're part of the CAFR, is what we pay for the actuarial. Actuary fees are considered as a deduction from investment income. And so all other expenses from the organization, they get to the budget and they get presented. So the good news is that the total of the administrative and non-administrative is about 11.8 if we go to page one. On page one, our budget that we approved, and this budget number was prepared in December of 2016, the year before, and it's an estimate. We get together with departments, forecast expenses, forecast staff, forecast operational needs, and we put them on paper. And throughout the course of the year, those expenses land. And so you can see down at the bottom, 13.4 was the total grant budget, of which we spent 11.7 against that. And in the graph there, again, we talk about what is subject to the limit. The blue is the administrative expense piece. 9.1 out of that 11.7 are the expenses that need to be matched up against the statutory limit. The remainder is a non-administrative, 2.7.
Is the statutory limit noted on here?
It is. In our memo form down at the last paragraph, the actuarial accrued liability is roughly $8.8 billion, which results in a statutory limit of approximately 18.5.
Got it.
So when you compare the 9.1 of administrative expenses against that, it's about 11 basis points. So we're about half. Okay? So that's the key ingredient. The page one is a summation. But when we actually break it down, page two and page three, we actually can see where the overs and unders are. The biggest reason, you can see where we're under in administrative expenses, down at the bottom of about $800,000, or 8% of the budget, has to do with staffing. We had some vacancy spots that we're filling throughout the course of the year, and you can see that most of that is in the personnel services line. Throughout the operational expenses, you see some pluses and minuses, and we're welcome for any questions or any items that stand out. But I'll go through and I'll point out some of the highlights here. And I typically focus on the bracketed items because those are the ones that are over budget. So we're always looking to see what, you know, what's the cause. And just because it's in a bracketed item doesn't mean that we're over budget or anything. It just means that possibly the estimate that we did preparing it was we missed something or maybe something was unforeseen. one of the biggest ones that I want to focus on is in the office expenses, the first line, office lease. You know, you see a budget of $387,000 against expenses of $421,000. Wow, did the rent go up by $34,000? It didn't. In the calculation of the budget, call it the accounting miss, we missed a little piece of forecasting. I was unaware that there was another lease we had from Tim's office that was part of the regular bill. We didn't take that in account. So in this case, the actuals is appropriate, so we should have bumped up the budget for that. So that's what that reveals. So that's part of the awareness of what we do when we calculate a budget forecast. We identify things that are up or down. Another large item is printing and postage. You see it's $44,000 over budget. Well, we get a lot of our printing and our postage done with the county office. A lot of the bills that come in, they're not the most timeliness of bills. We get bills late, and sure enough, there were some bills that arrived late. They were pertaining to the preceding year. So when we estimate, we assume there's going to be 12 months worth, but there was 3 or 4 months worth that came over from the county, and we had to pick them up in this year, and that's what that was.
That might suggest year-over-year analysis, though. I mean, at some point, I mean, because
happens every year.
Whatever was last year should have reflected that as well, right?
That's part of the learning process. So towards the end of July, we're going to have another 2018 budget update halfway into the year, right, and we take an account how we're doing
right.
This. And so we also get on the horn and call people up and say, "You send us your bill, please." Okay.
We need tell to them you're just not going to pay it after December 31st of 2018.
That's close the budget.
That's
the accrual date.
Tell call them and say, hey, if I don't get it before December 31st, it's not coming.
Well, you know, we talked about materiality and we talked about estimates, so I might take a look at estimates and figure out, you know, it's about this and I'll take that. But but I'm going to take that to heart. Our trustee said.
So you can use my name too.
So the other is accrual payable. Yeah. I had a quick question, Henry. This is sort of a personal interest. We have an item for actuary benefit statements. Nothing else for actuarial services. I would think our two major professional services are legal, which we have what looks like to me an appropriate number for, and nothing else for actuary. Where is it?
The actuary performs two services for us, the evaluation services and also the benefit statements. It's, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe Christina, but I believe that Siegel has a different team that prepares the benefit statements cost. That's the expense that we put on here. The science of the valuation and the production of that, we treat that as a deduction from investment income. So it doesn't make it here.
So it doesn't make it on this. Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. But the attorney bills, they make it on page 3. That's considered a non-administrative cost. And so we can quickly jettison to that real quick in the operational expenses. You know, we have our fiduciary and general legal counsel. We have our investment counsel. And we also have legal services for disabilities and maybe some other legal services that we do for our labor relations. So they're all buried in here. But legal fees for the SIR limit, they're considered non-administrative. So we bring those over to this side of the budget.
Is there any other major expense that doesn't show up here but in fact is offset against income?
Sure. The custodian fees. State Street Bank, the fees for the investment managers, they come off. They're deductions on the income statement, if you will, but they're not classified as administrative. Administrative has its own discussion because of the limit and also because of the recent GASB that we have to present it on the valuation as a percentage inside the contribution rate.
That's also in the CAFR.
That's right.
It's detailed in the CAFR.
Yeah.
Okay. That's right.
So it's
page 25, note 13, there's a separate schedule. I've got those memorized.
And the investment consultant fees for Verus as well as Stepstone are in the CAFR, but they're not listed
not
on here.
Okay.
Yeah. Those would be the other areas.
You bet.
Do the attorneys get some ability to get theirs moved over too.
I've done all that, and I move as much as I can. I'm very aggressive on the non-administrative, you know, and I follow the SERL limit, you know, to the T. And so for next year's budget, we took a more ambitious overhead and rent. Operational leads for the investment and the legal departments are considered non-administrative. So I know we're not close. We, you know, we have plenty of room, but if it's not subject to the limit,
And Gabe had an earlier question on the SERL limit, and I did want to mention that we're actually at the same basis point level as we were last year. We were at 11 last year and 11 this year.
That's good to know.
Versus the 21.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
You bet. So it's short and concise.
So Henry, John brought up accruing invoices. Do we accrue invoices here?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. The county was just our little business partner that we were, you know, they told us they had submitted everything, but as you can see.
Guess what?
Is that a regular occurrence for the county?
Found something in
You'd like to think it's not, but.
Our experience?
Yes, it is.
It is.
There's the, you know, they go through allocations and they, you know, these are allocated costs. There's a big machine that runs over there and there's a meter and they say this is Cicera's share and this is other departments. And so by the time we got that little bill, it was. But again, we can estimate to Jerry's input, we can estimate and avoid this surprise.
Mm-hmm. Well, to Scott's question, if this is reoccurring every year, shouldn't the year-to-year, our experience show that from last year and the year before?
Probably does.
But it's not, because you're saying that they submit, I guess the amount of bills was just much higher than it previously has we've been experienced in terms of our budgeted amount?
No, the bills are okay, but they just collected in 2017 because they captured a little bit of 2016's in there.
Right. My point is if that happened the year before, our budget should be accounting for that year-to-year, that experience of them submitting late bills, correct?
But if we received them earlier, like in the prior year, it would have gotten paid in that prior year.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's only when we're not, you know, receiving them, paying it, and not accruing it, and then, you know, suddenly you have a year that you're going to have those fluctuations. Mm-hmm. I think the bigger point is, you know, do we have a process or mechanism to review what our costs are doing year over year? Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, that's one thing that we've been discussing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because it reveals, you know, is it really, for a 12-month period, are we spending more for those 12 months, or did we budget for 12 and we're expensing 14 months? But at least monthly we know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, and for this particular year, because when the budget was calculated, December 2016, I think I was here maybe 4 or 5 months. So I was trying to gather all the moving parts to the budget. And so again, sometimes the budget is the actual more revealing than the budget estimate? Did we do a good job of it?
So possibly in 2016, we were under budget in printing. For example, land postage with the county.
Yeah.
And then I know you're saying that we're looking at every 6 months reevaluating.
Yes.
And reallocating as well. Would we do that, moving budget items?
We
at
may,
that 6 months?
We may move. Well, that's not in the plan. We just want to see a status update, what it
look.
Shows, right? And it's a soft close because this one, we had the experience of time. We waited for bills to come in. Mm-hmm. The attorney bills are also notoriously a little late and tardy in getting here. So at 6 months, I'll do a soft close, see what's there.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just do. I think we did a similar discussion presentation where we do a fuel gauge where we say approximately 50% of the budget, 50% of the year left. Mm-hmm. Do something like that. But it's kind of a review for the board to see where we're trending.
Mm-hmm.
We
also on that point, when we're talking about the county expenses, we have been transitioning where instead of, because in the past a lot of those charges have just been hitting our fund that's at the county, and so we've been requesting more and more to actually get the invoices to pay so we can get the additional detail on what's actually hitting us. And so I don't know if that's played into this as well, but we've been, there's not hardly anything hitting the fund except for, you know, the contributions and those other flow-through items.
Yeah, and our treasury account at the county, it would get charged with these allocations, and we wouldn't see them. We're asking the county to submit invoices for us so we can approve, just like a vendor relationship, so we can sign off, and Christina can sign off administrative or charges, postage, and so we, you know, we want to break off the relationship, treat us as a vendor, not just debit our contribution account and take monies out of there, because you're mixing expenses with employer-employee contributions.
Mm-hmm. Rusty, put a hold on that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the person
Rusty pays it out quickly. I appreciate that. It's our auditor-controller friend.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes, my good friend, Mr. Campbell.
We just got reelected, so he's going to be hard.
Congratulations. He did a good job.
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing. And finally,
any other questions or comments for Henry?
Anything else?
Seeing none. Thank you, Henry.
You're welcome.